The scripture is our evidence. Yeah. So maybe let's start from 1 Timothy. Maybe let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So when I say we'll read a lot of scriptures, I just want us to see that before we go into what we want to do today. So all scriptures, verse 16, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for, sorry, 2 Timothy 3, sorry. I'm very sorry. 2 Timothy 3, 16, forgive me. Bible scholars, thank you for finding that out. Yeah. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the scripture is our evidence. It's what helps us. It's given by the inspiration of God. The Bible says it was given by inspiration of God to men of old. They wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So they wrote it down so that we can take them for correction, for reproof, for instruction, for doctrine. Hallelujah. So there is nothing that I think I want to say that is not better said in the scriptures. So we'll do readings, yeah? All right, so let's go into, first of all, I want to thank God for the privilege to stand and minister to awesome people of God. And I thank God for the man that the gift of God he gave us in this church in the person of Pastor Nife, because he's the one laboring over all our lives, and we thank God for that. So let's quickly go into the word. Galatians chapter 3. Let's start from there, and then we will read. Hallelujah. Let's do Galatians 3. I will read one verse, then we'll, because that's where my emphasis will be on, and then we'll now start our long readings. Please don't just follow me. Try not to get bored. Be attentive. We prayed for you already. The Spirit of the Father is here to bring realities to what we are going to say today. Hallelujah. So it's going to be beyond head knowledge. So it's going to be heart knowledge. This is a different type. So in your heart, the Bible says when the Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, something will happen to our understanding. Enlightenment will come and the eyes of our heart will be opened. Yeah. So yeah. So we believe that will happen to us today. So 26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So this is Paul speaking, and it seems like he came to a conclusion of something. He said, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So why did Paul make this emphasis? Why did Paul come to this conclusion and say, you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus? If we take that verse out of context, we could explain it in a lot of ways. But let's read from verse 1. Galatians 3, yeah? Let's read. Let's read. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified amongst you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So notice what Paul is doing here. He's doing a comparison. So before he got to verse 3, he was angry at them from chapter 1. Let's do it. Let's just look at it. Because I think it's better we read the scriptures than I tell you the stories from my mouth. Yeah? Hallelujah. All right. So let's start from, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How? According to the will. Is there? They took it away. According to the will of God our Father. So Ephesians said it like this. Let's see Ephesians before we come back here. I think let's just see Ephesians chapter 1 quickly. We'll just touch it and then we'll see. Just stay with me, please. I hope we all have our Bibles. If you don't, you can look at the screen and I'll try my best not to be so fast. Let's see Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see from verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Who chose us? God. Where did he do the choosing? In Christ. So he chose us so that we might be holy and blameless. Now, when you hear the word holiness, you feel, oh, that's a very sanctimonious word. Amazing. Hallelujah. Now, our holiness, the word holiness means being set apart. In your wardrobe, I'm telling you the truth, you have some clothes that you've called holy. In your wardrobe at home now, there are some clothes you've specially kept, even in your box, that you've separated from every other thing, and you put them special, that I wear these on special occasions. You have shoes that you put like that. You have some stuff that you've kept holy that you only use on special occasions. Now, what gave us holiness is the fact that we were collected in Christ. See, you don't understand. Your holiness came before the foundation of the world. That's the plan of God. Before the worlds were formed. Hallelujah. So before the worlds were formed, was formed, because we know that everything, the world, what we see, we are made by things not seen, invisible things, made from the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm making sense, yes? Now, so we know that our holiness was not attained after we were born. Don't think it's when you got born again that you became holy. I'm telling you, I'm going somewhere and I will explain what I mean. Now, when you got born again and you believed in Jesus, you became a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That is what you received. Then you realize what God has done for you in Christ. Because he said he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died for the whole world. The provision of holiness that is in Christ Jesus is available for everybody. And that is even before you got born again. So what I'm trying to make you understand is that your holiness and your salvation was not made available the day you confessed Jesus. It was made available before the foundation of the world. I wanted to say 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross, but that was when we saw the revelation of that. That's why the Bible will tell us in 1 John that we know that he loved us because he gave us his son. That is what made us to know. But whether he has loved us before the foundation of the world. So we're making sense, yes? Ephesians chapter 1, we are still there. I just wanted us to see all those things. So you are holy, you've been chosen, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him when before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Of his will. Everything we received in Christ Jesus is according to the good pleasure of his will. We are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The only thing that made us children of God was when we accepted the provision of God. Hallelujah. So it was already predestined, planned forth for us. Now, when we come and we come into understanding of what we've received in Christ Jesus, then we become sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, but what made Paul get to that statement? The people of Galatians were between two things. Some people came into their midst and started talking to them about circumcision, that you need to get circumcised. You need to do some certain things according to the law for you to receive the salvation you've already received. Imagine. That's why he told them, the person that started walking in you, did he do it by hearing of faith or by walking of the law? Because they were already walking in the spirit before the people that came to spy out their liberality. This is how he said it in Galatians. Hallelujah. I just don't want us to do the long reading so that's why I'm explaining it. Hallelujah. So they came to spy that out. And then he's telling them, are you so foolish that you started in the spirit? You understood the fact that Jesus was crucified on the cross. And that is what we receive. That is how we receive our salvation. It is by faith in Christ. We are children of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's not, he's not trying to tell them that it's not about being circumcised. That's why he went further and he said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. Hallelujah. So that's why he will tell you things like, we've come to things that cannot be touched with hands. The reality, the revelation, what we've received in Christ Jesus, it's not based on your own abilities. It's not based on your own dues. Hallelujah. But will the Holy Ghost come inside of you and begin to walk the workings of righteousness to produce the fruits of righteousness through you? Yes. Because how do we know? Should I go there yet? Okay. How do we know? Hallelujah. How do we know that? So when I say we are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So how can I know that I'm a child of God? Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Right? So, but we need to have an assurance of something. We need to have an assurance of something. We need to hold on to something. We need to have either a word or a promise or a reality or an impression that we know that we are sons of God. Hallelujah. So don't forget the thought pattern. You are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, that means there is another way that people can think that they can become children of God, which is trying to work it out themselves. And that is what made Paul come to that conclusion. You are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So have that illustration in your mind. We are going to be doing some, what do they call it? Comparing. Yes. We are going to be doing comparison between seeing the righteousness that came through faith in Christ Jesus. And then there is also a righteousness that we wanted to attain by the law. Hallelujah. Let's see John 1. Maybe we'll go there. And then, I hope I'm making sense. If I'm too fast, just help me. Verse 16, John 1, 16. And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. John 1:16. Let's start from verse 1. Oh, okay. So remember, from verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt amongst us. Towards the ending, he said, in him was light, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Yeah? And that light, it lighted everybody, every man, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. And let's see 16. And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given how? By Moses. But grace and truth came how? By Jesus. So grace and truth came by Jesus. No man has seen God at any time. only the God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him unto us. So grace and truth came by who? By Jesus. So the song that the choir sang was very powerful. Grace changes everything. Grace changes everything. Grace and truth came by someone, and that is the person of Jesus. And when in talking about grace and truth that came through the person of Jesus, the only responsibility we have to accept it is to have faith in that finished work. Or we can say believing in that finished work. Because God has shed abroad faith in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. Yes? But now, our gift back to God, what we should do in reciprocating what God has given is believing it. Believing that we are sanctified through faith. Believing that we are justified through faith. Believing that we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that is the only thing that made you a child of God. That is the only thing that made you a child of God. The fact that you believe that God sent Jesus and he died on the cross. That is what makes you a child. Now, when you become a child of God, the Bible says, Jesus speaking in John, he said, I'm going to pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. And he will be a witness. He will be a witness of me. So the Holy Ghost in you is a witness that truly Jesus died on the cross. Because you've not seen him. Have you seen Jesus? Some of us might have seen him in our revelations. That's true. But most of us have not seen him physically. But what we have that gives us an assurance that we have the gift of life is the person of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's see some certain scriptures and then we'll move on from there. And let's start from Ephesians. Let's still do Ephesians 1. Let's do verse 13. Then we'll do Romans 8. Where is my Ephesians? So follow me. I said something. I said, you are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So it's not based on your works. We'll still read scriptures that will solidify that. It's not based on your works. It's a gift of God. Now, but first thing first, how do you know that you're a child of God? How do we know we are children of God? By the witnessing of the Holy Ghost within us. So now, how can we say that? Let's see. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What did Paul say that happened here before you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise? After that you heard and you believed. Did he say after that you worked out some things there? No. After that you heard and you believed. Romans 10:9, he said, with the mouth we make confession, but with the heart we believe unto salvation. That's why I said it's not head knowledge. It's believing in the heart. So now he said, after that, can you go back to the fish? Good, thank you. Thank you so much. So he said, after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, who started promising us about the person of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Actually, God. Because the prophecy started both in Isaiah, but in Joel. Joel too, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, but that outpouring, it comes by believing in the provision of the Son. Because he said he pleased God that in him should all the fullness of Godhead dwell. So it pleased God so much that in the person of Jesus. Now, someone can be like, remember, it was Jesus that promised us that a witness will come. What is a witness? Someone that is also bearing witness. The way he told the disciples, you will be witnesses of me across the world, in Judea, in Samaria, and all over the ends of the world, is that same word that was also used in that witness part. So
So it's also someone that will be reminding you of something you received in Christ Jesus, and that is the Holy Ghost. Remember Romans 8, it says, those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So now, but how will you know that the salvation has moved from sense knowledge to heart knowledge? Because you could believe you're saved in Christ Jesus, but there are some certain promptings of the Spirit that can evidently show that you're a believer. How did you receive it? By faith in Christ Jesus. But that faith now springs forth a walking, an expression. Because after you've been born again, the Bible made us to know that he has predestined us in Ephesians 1. I'm sorry, I'm using Ephesians a lot. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. He said he has planned some certain good works beforehand for us to walk in. So God himself has some certain workings of righteousness that he desires to express through you. Hallelujah. But how did you receive what will stir up that working in you? By faith in Christ Jesus. But the plan is that it's unto good works that he has proposed in himself. In Ephesians chapter 2, he said, the manifold wisdom of God will be seen, that will be known by the church. I think it's Ephesians 3 now. So, yes, so that principalities and powers will see the expression of the manifold wisdom of God from you. But how will that manifold wisdom of God come? You first received it by faith. Then there is a stirring in the Holy Ghost that works out. The Bible says it's the one at work in us to do what? Both to will and to do. Why am I stressing all these things? You are led by the Spirit to bring about expression of the good works that God has put inside of us. We are going to see it in the scriptures, Romans 8. So you receive the giving of the Holy Ghost by faith in Christ Jesus. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe we should even do some things. Remember, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul was making an emphasis about the man Abraham. He was making a comparison about we are Abraham's seed. The promise was given to Abraham's seed, right? And that's where he came from. So let's see Romans 4 before we go to Romans 8, just to finalize with that path of salvation through faith and believing and all. Maybe let's start from, okay, yeah, I should say this. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here that comes from Israel? If you are from Israel, like your state of origin is Israel, can you raise your hand? No one. Okay. All right. So why I'm saying that is because our forefathers were idol worshippers in our faraway land. Some of us in Nigeria, some of us in India, some of us in different countries of the world. Some of us in Kenya, in Ghana, they were idol worshippers. If you want to know that even the whites had idol worship, go and watch some of the series happening now that they backdate. They have their own very strong witchcraft as well. So they were idol worshippers. Calm down, I'm going somewhere. Now, but the people of Israel had an understanding of what the spirit of what God wanted to do. Because when we are talking about all these things, he said we are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you read it further down, he's now telling us about as we are children of God, there is something that we attained. And that is inheritance of something. We became joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Now, but our forefathers did not know about that inheritance that was in Christ Jesus. My great grandfather, maybe he heard, but I don't know, but his generation before him, when they were in Nigeria, They did not hear, they did not know. That's why the Bible says we had no hope. Ephesians chapter 2, we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were separated. So we had no hope. What is that hope? Romans 8 says we are saved by hope. Hope in what? In that Jesus is going to come and will bring salvation to mankind. But because we did not have an understanding of that hope, we had no hope. And the Bible says, let's see it. Ephesians chapter 2. Why am I quoting it in my head? Not good. I think it's good we see it. Why I'm emphasizing on this is because the law was given to the people of Israel. To them was, let's see Romans 3 first. Sorry, I hope I'm not confusing you with a lot of scriptures. Just write them down. The truth is that 40 minutes is not enough for us to bring about what will impact your life continuously. So you receive it, you go home, you listen again. No one time listening to a message or sitting under a message can transform you. Yes, it will cause a stirring in your heart that will make you to go and pay attention more. Listen again and listen again. So just write the scriptures down and we hope we'll do that. Romans 3. Now, remember I told you that our forefathers did not have any hope. Our forefathers were Gentiles. We are Gentiles in this situation now. We are not Jews. So it was the Jews that God handed over some certain precepts, some certain laws. It was the Jews that have seen God being expressed. Our forefathers did not know that there is a God in heaven that had the ability to part the Red Sea. But the children of Israel saw it with their eyes. It's not a fable story. It's not something that someone imagined. They knew that there is an ability of God to come and help them. So how did they know it was God? Because it was in an impossible situation. That's why Paul will say something in 1 Corinthians there about, he said, it is in your truest weakness that everything will be done according to my power. When he inquired of the Lord about his weakness, and he told him that my grace is sufficient for you, but it is in the place of my true weakness that everything will be done by my power. Now, when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, they met an impossible situation. The only thing that could have done that was the power of God. So they saw the power of God move. Hallelujah. From that point, throughout their journey in the wilderness, because the promise, don't forget, the promise of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus was given to Abraham by promise, right? It was given to Abraham by promise. And after Abraham died, that was when Joseph wandered to Egypt and was enslaved. And after he was enslaved for some years, he became a governor. Then genealogies continued, and the children of Israel now had multitude that needed to go back to Israel. But they already had a promise of the coming of the Son to bring salvation. It was promised to Abraham by faith. Then when they were on their way back from Egypt in the wilderness, they started doing some certain things. We are going to see, why did the law come? Because why would God just bring the law if we should not be obeying it anymore? Why did the law come? So the law came because he wanted to keep us under a schoolmaster. That is what Galatians 2 called it. I don't want us, Galatians 3, earlier verse, yeah? So he wanted to put us under a schoolmaster until the one that the promise was meant for will come. And the promise, the Bible says, it was to Abraham and his seed. One person. Not seeds. So now, it is because of that seed of Abraham. So the law was given, we are put under a schoolmaster until the one that the promise was made for will come. And who is that one? Jesus. So now, after we have received the promise, he has come, the man Jesus, he has died for us. Now, we are now children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. So we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Hallelujah. So now, but remember, me and you, we are never under any schoolmaster. The people that we are under the schoolmaster, we are Jews. That's what we want to read now. So our forefathers did not have the law to keep. Hallelujah. Our forefathers did not have the law to keep. Now, Romans 3, what advantage then had the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them we are committed what? The oracles of God. Right? So unto them we are committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy saying, and might overcome when thou art judged. Let's do 8. And not rather, as we slanderously report, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No. In no way. Remember, when he said, are we better than them? It means, are we the Jews better than you, the Gentiles, that I'm writing to? Yeah? We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So remember, the Jews, God gave them, they had the oracles of God. They had the precepts of the Father. They had the law to keep. But what did the Bible say here? We are still all under sin. Verse 8. Oh, yeah. Verse 9. Before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So both Jews and the Gentiles needed salvation. Hallelujah. So both those that understood knows that there is a God in heaven, we have a hope that salvation will come through Jesus. Hallelujah. They were still under sin, because the law cannot take away the sins of the world. That's why the Bible says if the law could do it, he would not need to send his only son. He will not need to send his only son. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. A lot of things. Let's go to verse 20. Therefore, or let's do 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth, what? May be stopped, and all the world will become what? So one of the reasons why the law was given was to make every mouth to stop, and the world will become what? Guilty before God, so that we will come to God and say, we need a savior. Hallelujah. So that we'll come to God and say, God, I know we need a savior. I know I need a savior. That's why he said in Hebrews, he said that sacrifice they made every year, because there are certain laws. And he made rules that they should make a sacrifice every year, yearly. He said that sacrifice cannot take away the consciousness of sin. But the plan of God was that we are going to have a new consciousness. Hallelujah. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we will be made the righteousness of God through faith in him. Will be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So remember, so the law was given so that everyone will be guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Brothers, If you are sin conscious, you have, your mind is focused on the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, but don't forget, when I say we have been saved through believing in Christ Jesus and we are no longer under the law, remember we read in earlier verse that some people say we are saying go and do anything. But that's not the truth. What we are implying is there is time up. Wow. What we are implying is that there is a certain leading that needs to start going on in your life as a believer. So now that you are a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So now you understand that the salvation you received is not of your own doing. It was for the fact that you believed in Jesus. So let me explain it again. The day you accepted the Lord Jesus, before that day, you were not walking in righteousness. So, but the day you just came and said, I accept you as my Lord and Savior in my heart. And you show us 1 Corinthians 12. Let's do verse 3. Let's see something there. 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Yeah. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So, the very first day you came out and stood and gave an altar call, or you answered an altar call and you said from your heart, Jesus is Lord, the Holy Ghost has led you. Even though hours before you got convicted of your sin, you might not be in the right place in terms of your law, in terms of law standards. But he said, we cannot say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So that impression in our spirit prompts us to say Jesus is Lord. Now, what now happens, because the Holy Ghost has been given to us as believers, Jesus making a prayer, he said, I pray for these ones. I'm not saying you should take them away from the world, but I'm saying that you will keep them. So there is, am I making sense? I'm praying for these ones. I'm not saying take them away, but I'm praying that you will keep them. The way me and you are together, I in you and you in me, then they will be in me. There is in me, I in them, them in me. Hallelujah. Now, where am I going there? Because the representation, the person that represents Jesus in your life, in all our lives, all believers, if you've confessed Jesus is Lord by the heart, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, dwells in you. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1, that after you heard, you believed the gospel of your salvation, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Hallelujah. We also saw it now. You can't say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Ghost. So, you have been led by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Let me not say Spirit. You've been led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Remember, he told them in 1 Corinthians, your body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of God? He told them in Ephesians, he said, you are God's habitation. How? Through the Spirit. So it is the Spirit living in us is what is the proof that we are children of God. Now, how did we attain that right? It was not by walking of the law. That's why he called them foolish in Galatians 3, verse 1. It was not by walking of the law. It was by believing in the provision of God. Believing in the finished work. Believing on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see Romans 1. Romans 1. Let's see something. Romans 1, 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Why is it to the Jews first? Because Jesus came to the Jews. He was born in Israel. He was not born in my country. So the Jews had that word first. But now it has gone to uttermost part of the world. So Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So where the power of God is to make you a child is hidden in the power of God, which is in the cross. Let's read further. I think so, yeah. Yeah. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's make this a comparison with 1 Corinthians 1. So you will see when I mean about the cross being the power of God unto salvation, it is not your workings that is the power of God unto salvation. It is the cross. Hallelujah. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians 1, 17. Let's see. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. So Romans 1 told us, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. So, and he said, I'm not, in 1 Corinthians 1, we now understood that that power of God is also the cross. So believing in the cross and in the abilities in the finished work of Jesus. So when we say we are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, it means we are accepting the whole totality of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, that also includes something. Romans 8. I think that's where I will just end it. And, because the time do I still have time? 10 minutes. Okay. Ah, nice. Thank you. Romans 8. Romans 8. I think we'll just make that a long reading and we'll end there. I hope something is stirred up in your heart, please. Because, yeah, all right. Because I don't even know how it's happening, but I'm not saying everything I wanted to say. All right, verse 1, Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, he told them in something in Galatians, did you start from the flesh or are you now made perfect in the Spirit? So it's still that same comparison of flesh and spirit. Hallelujah. Good. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a law of Spirit of life in Christ that has made us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Remember, Hebrews 2 also told us that he was made like his brethren. So he was made to be like us. He was not made to be like angels. I'm still emphasizing the fact that God sent his son, born of a woman, to die for us. Right? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, following the leading of the Spirit brings about fulfillment of a righteousness. Remember, Deuteronomy, when the law was given, Moses said something towards the end of the verse, Deuteronomy 30, I think so. He said, this day I've set before you life and death. Choose life. He gave them all the law. Right? Let me be there. Where are we? We are in verse 4, yeah? Yes. So, okay, good. So, he said, and when he gave the law, he said, if you keep all these laws, there are some certain blessings that will come for you. Hallelujah. And if you don't keep these laws, there are some certain curses that will come to you. This is how it was written in Deuteronomy, right? That was why Paul, writing in Galatians, he said, Jesus became the curse for us. Because the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Remember, Bible says, God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. So, the way I imagined it in my head, don't make that a doctrine. I'm just explaining it in the way I imagined it in my head. So, the world decided that death on the cross is the most horrible death. And God in heaven, he knows that mankind has erred. and he needs to bring salvation. So what is the most horrible death that man has? Dying on the cross. If you die on the cross, you are a curse. It means it's only meant for bad people, because the people that we are with Jesus is one criminal or the other, right? Now, so he chose the foolish thing, that symbol of the cross. So the cross that is cursed for everybody, but now when we look towards the cross, we are not seeing curse. We are seeing blessings. So he took the foolish things of the world. What people, when Jesus was on the cross, people were passing and spitting. Calm down now, son of God. No, but the Bible says that he needed to go through that so that in doing that, he will bring many sons into glory. That's what Romans 4, Romans 5. We are meant to read all these places today. I don't know why we are not reading it, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. So, yeah. Well, where was I? Yes. So, Romans 4, Romans 5. So, it said, it is by... What was I saying before I went there? Yes, yes. So Jesus became a curse for us so that we will receive the blessing that was attached to the law. That's what this place is saying in Romans 8. That's what I've been trying to explain. So he became the curse because we could not keep the law. Someone needed to represent us. Now, before that whole genealogy came, why did we fall? It was because of Adam. Maybe I should say this quickly. It was because of Adam. So we needed someone to come and die for us. Someone to come and represent mankind. Adam means representation of mankind. Adam stood as a representation of mankind. So now the Bible says there is someone else that is second Adam, and that is Jesus. Now there is also another genealogy that began in Jesus. And for you to become a member of that genealogy, you have to believe. Because when you believe, the curses of the law are already on Jesus. And he has taken them to the grave. And he has resurrected. He said, so that through him, many sons will be brought into glory. Hallelujah. So, remember, we are in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. We'll keep reading. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. So it was Paul that wrote this. So in writing it, I can put that myself there. I am not in the flesh. I am in the spirit. Because the spirit of God dwells in me. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's what? He's none of his. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness we received by faith. But if the spirit of him that raised Christ up from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what is happening to them? They are the sons of God. So you are faith. You are a child of God through faith. Galatians 3:26. Yeah? You are a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, how do we know that you are a child of God? By the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Now, that Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, good. That Spirit of God, I'm coming to an end now. So that Spirit of God dwelling inside of you has some certain things that it will be stirring you up to do. And that is good works unto salvation. That is producing the fruits of, of our salvation. The stirring of the spirit, the working of righteousness. That is why he said here in verse, come on, where are you? Where did I? No. This is the wrong verse. Verse chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Our prompting, so remember in the earlier verse it said, we are now under the law of the Spirit of life. So we are no longer under the law of sin and death. We are now under the law of the Spirit and life. Now, that law of the Spirit and life inside of us is in the person of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Who bears witness that we are sons of God. The Bible says we have received the spirit of sonship and whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We all know those things. Yes? Now, that Spirit of God inside of us starts stirring us, starts making us to walk in the good works which God has proposed for us as sons. And then we begin to see you being led by the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit begins to be made manifest in your life. But brothers, the prompting that makes you to become led by the Spirit, it does not come by your works. It comes by believing in Christ Jesus. But after that you've believed in Christ Jesus, the Holy Ghost from within you starts working from inside out. It's an inside out changing. It's not an outside in. The law is of the flesh. Because the law will tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But the Spirit gives impressions in our spirit. And through the leading of the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the flesh. We mortify the lusts, some certain things that shouldn't be found in a son. That's the stirring of the Spirit. So, ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It is not of your works. And because you are children of God, you became an heir. Joint heir with Christ. Now, when we talk about being a child of God, you might be wondering, what do children of God inherit? There are a lot of things. The Bible says that, as Ephesians chapter 1 still, he said something about, now we've received the first promise of the Holy Ghost until we receive the complete possession of the Spirit. That's one. So the Holy Ghost that is in you now, there is a time when it will be, you will be in complete control of it. It's there in the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Read it from another translation, not King James. Also, we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Hallelujah. Remember, what did God promise Abraham? He promised him the world. He promised him the world, that you'll be the father of many nations of the world. Brother, it's in the scripture. You are also going to inherit the world. The sons of God shall inherit the world, that shall inherit the earth. I hope we all know it here, that heaven is not where we are going to go and stay forever. After, if I sleep before God comes, before Jesus comes again, I will be somewhere with him for a while, until I receive the glorious body like him. That is what we are expecting. That is what we are expecting. Hallelujah. So, as a child of God, there are some certain things that should be your motivation. It should be your motivation. You should want to be led by the Spirit. You should want to be led by the Spirit. You should want the Spirit to be your inspiration. But please, don't think that it's by your abilities. Because it's not. It is by the power of the Holy Ghost in you. He is the one willing and doing. So you are a child of God, not because of what you've done, but because of faith in Christ Jesus. Because you've believed. Now, but after you've believed in the God of your salvation, he begins to walk through you, because there are some certain assignments that he desires for all of us. Hallelujah. The Bible says he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We've got to be ministers of God. And for us to be ministers of God, he works something out through us. Hallelujah. But you a child of God. How? How are you a child of God? It's not of your works. It will never be of your works. It is by faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads and just pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the realities that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for... thank you Jesus for the Holy Ghost that you've put in us. Thank you because all we need to receive from you is believing. We know that you are working in us both to will and to do. We are sons of God, and the evidence is the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. We bask in this reality. We bask in this reality. Thank you, Father.